ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अमुनि भगवान् रूपे मया ते यनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न विघ्नन्ति
माया
सृष्टे विभाष्टिता अमुनि भगवद्रूपे मयथे यनुवर्णिते उभेऽपि न गृह्णन्ति माया सृष्टे
विपश्चिता
अमुनि भगवद्रूपे मयथे यनुवर्णिते उभेऽपि न गृह्णन्ति माया सृष्टे
विपश्चिता
अमुनि भगवद्रूपे मयथे यनुवर्णिते उभेऽपि न गृह्णन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि
Bhagavat,
under the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Rupe,
in the forms, Maya, by me, Te, unto you, He, certainly, Anuvarnite, described respectively, Upe, both. Api, also. Na, never. Grihnanti, excess. Maya, external. Srishte, being so manifested. Vipachita, the learned one who knows. Translation. Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know Him well. Purport. The impersonalists think of the Absolute Personality of Godhead in two different ways, as above mentioned. On one hand, they worship the Lord in His Vishwarup Rup, or all-pervading universal form. And on the other, they think of the Lord's unmanifested, indescribable, subtle form. The theories of pantheism and monism are respectively applicable to these two conceptions of the Supreme as gross and subtle. But both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord because they are aware of the factual position. This is very clearly mentioned in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which records Arjuna's experience of the Vishwarup as the Supreme Lord of Sri Krishna. Adrishta purvam hishtosmi drishva bhayena cha pravrayitam manote tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasira devesha jagan divasa. Bhagavad Gita 11:45. Arjuna, as a pure devotee of the Lord, never previously saw the contemplated universal form of the Lord, Vishwarup. But when he did see it, his curiosities were satisfied. But he was not happy to see such a form of the Lord because of his attachment as a pure devotee. He was afraid to see the gigantic form of the Lord. He therefore prayed to the Lord to assume his four-handed Narayan or Krishna form, which alone could please Arjuna. Undoubtedly, the Lord has the supreme potency to exhibit himself in multivarious forms. But the pure devotees of the Lord are interested in his forms as eternally exhibited in the abode of the Lord, known as the Tripada Vibhuti, or Kingdom of God. The Lord in the Tripada Vibhuti, abode, exhibits himself in two forms, either with four hands or with two hands. The Vishwarupa, exhibited in the material manifestation, has unlimited hands and unlimited dimensions, with everything unlimited. The pure devotees of the Lord worship him in his Vaikuntha forms as Narayana or Krishna. Sometimes the same Vaikuntha forms of the Lord are in the material world also by his grace as Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, Sri Nrisimhadeva, etc. And thus the pure devotees also worship them. Usually the features shown in the material world have no existence in the Vaikuntha planets, unless they are not accepted by the pure devotees. What the pure devotees worship from the very beginning are eternal forms of the Lord existing in the Vaikuntha planets. The non-devotee impersonalist imagine the material forms of the Lord, and ultimately they merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord. Whereas the pure devotees of the Lord are worshippers of the Lord both in the beginning and also in the perfect stage of salvation, eternally. The worship of the pure devotee never stops, whereas the worship of the impersonalist stops after his attainment of salvation. When he merges in the impersonal form of the Lord, known as the Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, the pure devotees of the Lord are described here as Vipashtita, or the learned who are in knowledge of the Lord perfectly. So here we're seeing now, because here in the second canto, a lot of time has been devoted to the discussion of the universal form. So here now we're seeing the other side to make sure that it is not used improperly. Because we see here he uses neither by forms as just described unto you from the material angle of vision. It means there's the proper spiritual angle of vision of this. But the material angle is rejected. Because for the devotees, they also understand everything as Brahman. They also understand Krishna through his potencies has entered into everything. That's not the problem. But to take that as the supreme, that's a problem. Right? It can't end there. In other words, something is a tool, it's not the end. Right? So the devotees, they know what the actual end is. They know that it's Krishna in his personal form, his two-armed and four-armed form. But the impersonalists don't know this. So they think the impersonal is the end. So they use these tools just to get to there and stop. So for them, the tool is their goal. So it doesn't actually work. See, it's important to note here this, because this could create a confusion. Because verses like this then are trying to show that even though the universal form, that element of seeing the Lord in everything, then is used by the devotee if he is attached to the material phenomena. But he should not remain in that position. To point that out, then it says that the pure devotees, they're not interested in this. So now, since we're only interested in pure devotional service, the natural logical sequence is, therefore, we have nothing to do with the universal form or the Brahma Jyoti. So that's all right if you can very nicely fit into either the first or second recommended categories that Krishna gives, which is surrender unto him immediately and become his pure unalloyed devotee this moment, not even second, right? Because that's 11 times longer. So this moment. Or take up the process of sadhana bhakti, which means you'll be engaged in the pancharatra process fully. But if we take the third and especially the fourth recommendations, which is to work for Krishna, or engage the results of our activities in Krishna service, then at this point actually we're dealing with the universal form, how he's manifested as Varnashram, right? Because that's what's in the Purusha Shukta. From all the different manifestations of the universe are coming from the Lord, from Garbhodak Akshay Vishnu. And so then, the idea is since we have attachment to the material energy, then we are engaged, we are seeing these things as Krishna's potency, dealing with them according to the direction Krishna gives. And in this way, then, conquering the material attachment by actually seeing that our needs and our desires and our endeavors, the results, are actually Krishna. And there isn't actually anything material that's worthwhile. So we change our perspective. So it can't be avoided for the devotee who's dealing with the conditioned nature, with the attachment. But what's pointed out is that by seeing it with the material vision, this is to be avoided. Yeah. Means if we see that the item itself is Krishna, right? The impersonalist will see the shark as Krishna, right? And they'll see that as God, so the shark is God. But it's the potency that makes the shark stand out amongst all aquatics. That's God. Does that make sense? So the devotee will still see the person, the Paramatma or Krishna, as the source of these potencies that in our conditioned state we are attached to. Does that make sense? So there's a difference. Right? The one is a practical devotional tool. The other is also practical, used for liberation, but unfortunately not complete. So that's rejected because of its temporary nature. So we know that the Supreme Lord, the Eternal Supreme Lord, in one of his pastimes manifests the material, the temporary material world, and it's his potencies that make the material world function. So we still see the person. The temporariness that we're attached to is secondary. But because we connected that attachment to Krishna, therefore it brings us still towards devotion, pure devotional service. But to see it separately without the person, like the impersonalists do, that is rejected by the pure devotees. Does this make some sense? So it's very careful to note the method, because with everything, with every yama, there's niyama, right? With every primary rule, there's a secondary. For something you should do, there's something naturally you shouldn't do. Just like one should not blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to preaching the holy name of the Lord. So that's what you shouldn't do. What you should do is appreciate, glorify, associate with, worship. Does that make sense? Right? So they go together, right? Remembering Krishna is the positive, not forgetting him is the negative. So they go together. They're always connected. So in the definition of the use of something, there also has to be what is its shortcomings or its weaknesses, where it's not applied, how it's not applied. Right? So we'll see this, and so we shouldn't be bewildered that if something is rejected that has already been described as useful, then we should see what is meant there. Right? Like Srila Prabhupada will start off with human life begins with Varnashram. Right? So devotees are supposed to be human. Human means he inquires. Then after that, after that one sentence, sometimes he'll spend a few paragraphs describing how to not use Varnashram, get attached to it, turn it into the caste system, in any way become distracted by the duties of Varnashram, that they're more important and more prominent in the devotional service. So then many times the conclusion is, therefore, Varnashram is not important. Right? No, it's not important misused. It's important for the process of purifying yourself from material existence. But it's not actually important for the performance of pure devotional service. Does this make sense? how do you say it? The boy gives the girl a rose. So technically speaking, is the rose important? Right? Right? It's the affection that's being expressed through the giving of the flower. But at the same time, for someone in that condition of life, with those attachments, it wouldn't be something else, right? The boy comes and gives the girl a very nice, new, shiny, titanium crankshaft. You know? She'll go smile and go, oh, nice. Because the sentiment was there, but couldn't you get the sentiment right to give a flower? You know? Of course, it'll come in useful later if they want to break up. But other than that, so we can see is in the conditioned state where the material energy is important to us, then the proper or appropriate use of it still has validity because we identify with it. But the ultimate need of it is not important. Right? Because when push comes to shove, it's like, okay, you can have a flower and not the boy, or you can have the boy and not the flower, which you're going to take. Right? Unless, of course, it's time for the crankshaft. But otherwise, then we see these overlapping definitions, which is very important to be able to accommodate. Right? To be able to understand something that from different perspectives has a different meaning or usage. So the flower is simultaneously the medium through which what you want to communicate is expressed. So therefore it has that importance. But at the same time, is ultimately it's not what's important. Right? The flower will fade. The affection shouldn't. Right? So these forms, the manifestation of the universal form, will fade. It will go. But the person that we're trying to appreciate and worship, but who we are distracted by the material energy, that person remains. And that affection for them remains. So then, does this make any sense? Okay. So we're trying to point out is that one should be intelligent, use one's intelligence to contemplate and see what is the difference, what is going on, what is happening, so that we do not become bewildered by even our own presentation of our own philosophy. You understand? Because we make it very clear that pure unalloyed devotional service is all we're interested in. But that doesn't mean that pure devotional service is not used as a means to get to pure unalloyed devotional service. Right? And because we're interested in pure devotional service doesn't mean that we don't use just general devotional service to get to that stage. Does that make sense? So we may say, well, I'm not interested in mixed devotional service, but that would mean, how else are you going to purify yourself? It's just like being clean is the proper standard. Taking a shower is for someone who's not clean. Therefore, on the ultimate stage, shower is not important because you're already supposed to be clean. So if I've accepted that, yes, I'm Mr. Clean, therefore I don't need a shower. So it's very nice as long as I'm not dirty. But if I'm dirty and then to say the process by which I'm going to clean myself is not important because being already clean is the standard, that's not intelligent. Right? Does that make sense? So that means is these things are used, but they don't become prominent in the mind of the devotee. Right? They don't become prominent. They're used, but they don't become a fetish or a fad or something like that. They're just used. And when their use is finished, because it's Krishna, it will naturally transform into something higher, something more appropriate. Right? Like we see Krishna in the heart. So then we'll say that's fine. It is fine in the beginning. Just to even see Krishna or be aware of Krishna, that's nice. But we're aware of Krishna alone. So that's ultimately inappropriate because Krishna's with people. He's with his devotees. So then if we say, oh, unless I remember Krishna with his whole devotees and their pastimes and everything, then I won't remember Krishna because remembering Krishna alone is not the ultimate, so therefore I won't use it, then would be it wouldn't be progressive. Does that make sense? So if we can put the false ego aside, that we aren't the great, pure, unalloyed devotee that we may, in our moments, think we are, then if we accept where I am at the moment and what I need to use to connect to Krishna without justifying, but just being realistic, then the process is progressive. Right? If we justify, we get stuck because then we get over-absorbed in it trying to prove that it's okay because I'm here. You know, just like a study was done and it was some place that had this very nice, squeaky, shiny floor, and somehow or another, if you walked across it with formal shoes, which this place was, then many times the heel would hit the floor and make a sound just like someone had passed there. So, you know, our little, you know, how you say, mundane, modern, sociological scientists, for lack of better things to do, set themselves up there and observed people going through this place and, by accident, their shoe making this sound. And it's a public place. So one thing they observed was one community of persons went through, and when their shoe made that sound, they just cracked up laughing with whoever they were and just kept walking. Like, wasn't that funny? Another group got so mental to prove that they had not passed air, that it was their shoe, would then stop and very meticulously and scientifically make the sound many, many times just to prove that everybody around that it wasn't them, it was their shoe. So, this is the point, is that things happen, but we move on. We don't make something out of it, right? We're attached. Okay, let's say we're attached to the house. Fine. We don't make a big thing that it's fine to be attached to the house. Hey, everybody's got to have a house to live, and you know, you don't live under a tree, so hey, let's get real there, and all that. But it's a matter of my attachment happens to be the house, so therefore I use the house in Krishna's service, and then therefore what elements of the house are the specifics of my attachment, I have to contemplate and see them in connection to Krishna. And then if we do that, then with time, then Krishna becomes more prominent and the attachment of the house goes away. Right? So if we either ignore it, like, oh no, we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for all these things, so then why are you in a house? Be under a tree. The Goswamis just chanted Hare Krishna and they lived under a tree. They were happy. You understand? So that's the point, is both ways are presented. And the idea is that we don't take one of those and champion it. Otherwise we fall into the problem that basically all political systems and social systems of the world suffer from, is taking a particular keyhole stance. Right? It can be left, it can be right, doesn't matter, but it's still narrow. It's not broad. Right? Because they're not seeing the natural transformation of their position, how it will then go to Krishna. What is important today, tomorrow is not necessarily important. Right? That's the thing. Just like we see, Young persons will be very enthusiastic, have their plans, be really worried about things. And many times older people are a lot more relaxed. They let things go. They don't worry about it. So that's naturally what happens. Now, if you do that using your intelligence or aware of it, then you can get out of here. But the old person has just put it aside because they are old and there's nothing they can do about it. But when you put them into the next body, next lifetime, and they're young again, all those desires spring up. But for the devotee, they use that natural situation to their advantage. So they start to contemplate actually what it is and speed up the process. So that when they are old and they do relax and give it up, it's given up not for this lifetime, but eternal. Does that make sense? So that's what's being mentioned. So here is being very clearly stated, because this is second canto, so this is the beginning of the process of self-realization, to see that the proper understanding how the Lord has entered everything, this Brahman level of the Lord's realization, the Paramatma level, are very clearly understood before moving on to the next cantos, which then we see the Lord in his pastimes with his devotees becomes manifest. Because up to now it's more tattva, very minimal pastimes in this canto. Any questions on this, comments? Or? Yes.
In the last war, over the Shah, the Lord devotee accepts two kinds of forms, for him there and for him. But for him there form is Vaikuntha, Vajra have to be Ujja, four kinds of liberation. Vajra, Vajra have four kinds of liberation, with the liberation they attain to Vaikuntha. But for Ujja, Vajra, 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 Vajra,
Oh, okay. So this is seen that appears to be a contradiction in that Prabhupada's saying the four-arm form and the two-arm forms are accepted by the pure devotees. And so the four-arm form we know is Vaikuntha form, which means the four kinds of liberation are accepted there. And so then the pure devotee doesn't accept liberation. That's the distinction between the pure devotee and pure unalloyed devotee. Pure devotee means their purpose is to please the Lord. Pure unalloyed devotee means that in that pleasing to the Lord, there's no interest in their own pleasure. So that's the difference. So that's what's special about what is being offered by Lord Chaitanya, is that the opportunity to take up pure unalloyed devotional service. That's why we'll use the term. Because alloy means that there's a mix. Right? So, pure unalloyed. So pure devotional service we see works for the madhyam, works for the uttam. Even for those who are planning to come to the platform, pure unalloyed devotional service. So it's only basically halfway through, or actually three-fifths of the way through bhava bhakti, that one comes to that stage basically of pure unalloyed. But still, it's not complete until it comes to prema. Right? So the process is our method is using pure devotional service to get to pure unalloyed devotional service. So that means is our purpose in all our activities is to please Krishna. The result is for Krishna. The endeavor was for Krishna. So that's actually what's meant. So it means in that we will use two methods, sannyas and renunciation. Renunciation would mean we do have attachment for the activity or the result. Let's say more the result. But we're willing to give that to Krishna. So it'll work because this is what I do and then it's for Krishna. So one would still, can still categorize this as pure devotional service if that's prominent. Right? As long as it's given up. If we keep for ourselves more, then we may drop it out of pure devotional service. Right? The sannyas means that from the beginning, the activity itself was meant to please Krishna, the result. It's not our result, even before we've gotten it. It's already been given away. So that's naishkarma. The other one is sakam. This is nishkarma. So that's more recommended. So Narad Muni preaches Pancharatra and Naishkarma because he knows persons aren't going to surrender to Krishna immediately this second. We preach it, but very few do it. So therefore, the second and third options that Krishna offers, that is what Narad Muni preaches. But as long as it's understood, then even the sakam can be used if the attachment is so great, as long as that renunciation is there. Then that will naturally, by that service, give us the proper knowledge and detachment that will bring us to Naishkarmya. And then from Naishkarmya, then when you are come to the platform, Naishkarmya will liberate you. Even the, right? So when that comes to the platform of liberation, then that knowledge aspect, the attachment to the jnana side of it, is given up. Then it is just, then it works on the platform of bhava. Right? And then the stages of bhava, as long as we're not in the same way distracted by the spiritual energy. Like here we get distracted by material energy, we don't think of Krishna. You can, it's still in the tathasta position, get distracted by the spiritual energy. So life in the spiritual world is pretty good. Right? It's eternal. Right? It's not temporary. There's no mundane pains or difficulties. So it's quite nice, you know, the cow dung patties do stick on the wall. You know, when you cook, it does come out properly. Right? You know, things like that. The brooms do work, they don't fall apart. You know, stuff like that. So it's quite nice. But you could get distracted by that and therefore not focus on Krishna how much you should. So that will slow you down. Therefore, we have that example in that purport when Krishna played the flute. Then so many gopis went because they weren't distracted. But those who were distracted, they got stopped. They couldn't go. Right? But by that, then they took, okay, nice life here in the spiritual world and serving Krishna. Then they took Krishna. And so then that burnt up whatever was left. Then they become situated in the advanced stages of bhava, which then brings them very quickly to prema. Does that make sense? So there's a process there, and it's called bhuti yoga, what we use. So that means the appropriate use of karma, jnana, and dhyana yoga. That's bhuti. So depending upon what stage of advancement are, you may be focusing more on karma, more on jnana, or more on dhyana. It doesn't matter. But the point is you're trying to get to pure and alloyed devotional service. Then bhuti yoga becomes useful. Right? So what's being mentioned in this verse is bhuti yoga should be avoided for those who don't see it that the goal is devotional service. Right? They're only using bhuti yoga to get out of the material world. Right? So that's a misuse. The point of getting out of the material world is to get into the spiritual, because technically the impersonals don't get out. Because they physically may leave the material of the Mahatattva, but their consciousness never does, because they still think they're God. So it's still material consciousness. So they actually never leave. So that's why it would be a misuse, because they're saying they are getting out when they're not. Getting out means going back to Godhead. Right? So in here then, going beyond in Vrindavan, that's the special flavor, is that they only want to see Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, everything about Vaikuntha and its opulences aren't really important for them. Right? The opulence is so great in Vrindavan that they don't care. Right? The trees are just trees. Right? You go and ask them for something and you get some fruit from them. Trees give fruit, you ask for that. The Kalpavriksha trees can give you anything. You know, you need a new cow, they can give you that. You need a horse, you need a house, anything they can give. But they just ask for some fruit and some flowers, because they're not enamored by it. Well, in Vaikuntha, you see the descriptions are always talking about the opulence, the greatness of it. But when they're describing Vrindavan, they're describing it in relationship to its affection for Krishna. And so the rasa aspect, not disturbed by attachment to expressing it through the medium of rules, is what's important. Therefore, even though they have the greatest facilities, they don't take advantage of it. Right? That's how a very wealthy, powerful person, he is comfortable with those people who can live with him in his realm of opulence and just take it as normal usage for interaction with him. Those persons that become distracted by it, how intimate can you get? Right? So it's a matter of that intimacy. So pure unalloyed devotional service means it's more intimate. So therefore, they're not interested. But still, the other is still pure devotional service because their purpose is simply to please Krishna. Is that okay? That's important in this. I mean, that's what vichara is for, is to contemplate, to see the difference. In other words, Krishna is unlimited. So there's unlimited perceptions or perspectives that you could look at him from. And between the two, because the two different perspectives are using different details, though it's the same principle, there's a confusion because the detail looks different. Right? But therefore we use our intelligence to see the actual, the common point. First we see what is the difference, and then we see how those differences are actually the same elements. Then that broadens our understanding of Krishna. Now, instead of being able to see from one perspective, we can see from two perspectives. And then like this through vichara, then many, many perspectives. Right? Just like we see Lord Chaitanya gave 64 meanings to the Atmarama verse. So, equipped with that viewpoint, you have 64 ways that you can observe. So there would be very few situations you would come into that you wouldn't have a Krishna conscious perspective for. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, because everyone in their conditioned state has a different perspective that they're attached to. So therefore there's a process, a Vedic process, to connect any of those to Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, like somebody's worried about their social status, someone's worried about their status compared to the planets. Or what is this the auspicious time, or for this or that, and someone is, am I wearing the right thing, what does everybody think? You understand? So, you have to have a method to connect those. Therefore, the one you have astrology, and the other one you have your social customs. Right? Does that make sense? Then, they're able to connect that attachment to Krishna by following the rules and the relationship to that attachment given by Guru Sadha or Shastra. Is that okay? So, factually, there's no real difference between those who are worshipping in Vaikuntha and those who are worshipping in Braj. But because there is some difference, the intimacy is greater. Like that. Is that okay? Anything else, yes?
Krishna mentions in the Gita to I'm fed to remember him alone.
Yeah.
What about his associates?
Oh, Krishna's saying at the time of death to remember him alone. What about his associates? Yes, as long as they're associates, then it's okay. Krishna or his associates, but that's to him, that's him alone, because it doesn't mean him alone, meaning there's no one else there. It means him and just his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Not, I'm thinking of Krishna and who's going to take care of my, you know, 3-month-old daughter. Right? That's what he means by alone. So if it's Krishna and his associates, that's fine. But if it's Krishna and something from here, then we stay here. Because we wouldn't be happy there, right? If Krishna at that moment took you to the spiritual world, if you're fully conscious, then you'd still be worried about the dark. So you wouldn't be happy there. Right? So that's why he says Krishna alone, because only then, because he's a person, he's male. Right? Male, the pure male mentality doesn't force anything upon you. Because they're already independent, so they don't need you. So therefore, the relationship with you is based on rasa. And if you're not committed to the rasa, there's no meaning to the relationship. Right? Does that make sense? So he doesn't need to enforce his power upon you to prove his existence or his need. He doesn't, because he doesn't have it. Does that make sense? Therefore, Krishna says, think of me alone, then you come to him. Think of me and something else and stay with that something else, because that's important to you. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to us, because the feminine is force your hand. Right? My way or the highway. So, therefore, we will think, well, why doesn't he force it? No. This thing is, no, you want it, then you take it. He's there, he's waiting. Because he's independent, he can wait. Does that make sense? Do I say that? Yes. Question is that we see universal form is coming to Varnashram is coming from the universal form, but we see that Varnashram is used as a backdrop or a social environment for Gaurlila and Krishnalila. Means the material world, there has to mean an explanation of everything. Right? Krishna appears, he's born, he dies, he got married, Agni gave him the Sudarshan Chakra, you know, I think it was Maya Dhanava gave him his club. You know, no, excuse me, he gave him the conch, I think. Or like this, you know, it's like that. So it's there because it's a pastime. It's just made up. So then, but Krishna's is consistent. Like little kids make things up, it's not consistent. You know, you have, we're going to have Radha Krishna and Balaram, or, you know, Krishna Balaram, I mean, Arjuna Balaram and Jashoda. And, you know, it's just whoever they feel like, they put it together, and then it all goes on. You know, and somehow or another, there's always a doctor there, and somebody's always some mother, and something becomes the baby. So, these things go on, but Krishna in Krishna's, then that becomes part of the thing, is that even though they're in Vrindavan, but there must be a form through which you can express something, right? Because otherwise, then what's the meaning? We just sit down in meditation by telepathy or something? You know, what's the taste? So it's the actual interaction that's important to Krishna. So there must be a form, so that form is perfect. And no one here would just follow it unless it was Shastra. Right? It means people nowadays, even the karmis, even the most strong advocates against Varnashram follow it, but with unscientifically. You can't get away from it. Like, have you ever heard anybody get upset that there's only five rasas? Anywhere in the world. Everybody is perfectly satisfied with five rasas. No one's asking for a sixth. No one say drop one out. Right? Is anybody worried about trees are green instead of, you know, hot pink? Right? No one worries about all these things, they just take it for granted. Is any other, have you ever heard of a kid asking what's a mother or what's a father? Right? You say, oh, who's that? Oh, they're, you know, Tommy's mother. Oh. Question answer. Right? So in other words, all these elements are automatically accept from the living entity because that's just natural from the spiritual world. But to get them to follow it properly, then it's written in Shastra so that they will actually contemplate it, use their intelligence, and scientifically follow it. Otherwise, they will follow it anyway. Right? Oh, you know, the kid, he doesn't care for authority. He walks out on his parents and just hangs out with the street gang, right? In the street gang, he has authorities there. He has ways he has to behave, things he can say, things he can't say, ways he has to dress, ways he can't dress. Otherwise, he's out. So very strictly, he follows a social rule, though it's not his parents, but he follows them. So it doesn't matter. The living entity can't function without religion. You either follow one given to you by authority or you make one up. Right? Any group has a religion. means what it is that makes this who is who and how do they relate to each other. What's the nature of everybody? Right? So, therefore, for the Lord to have his pastimes, there must be some medium through which to do it. So, how would Maru Mangal be able to go into the assembly of the elder cowherd women and them ask him questions about astrology and how to benefit their daughters because they hate their husbands and we wouldn't even wish that on our enemies, right? And so what can we do about it? So then he says, yes, this is special puja. They go out into the forest and they worship Cupid, right? And he gives all the rules and that, and they all say, great. And then they go to their daughters and with great authority tell them, oh yes, now as your mothers-in-law, we are instructing you to take all this paraphernalia, go out into the forest and worship Cupid. And they're all going, did I just die and go to heaven or what? Right? So, but how would that happen unless he's a Brahmin? Right? If he was just another cowherd boy, then he's just another, so why would he be an authority? Right? Yeah. So the whole point is why could Mother Yashoda chase Krishna with a stick unless she's his mother? You know, she has that authority. So you need the form to actually express rasa. So it's there in its natural form in Vrindavan. It takes on more formalization in Vaikuntha. And then in the material world, then it has to come through Shastra. But it's the natural, it is the social form that Krishna likes. But the difference being, in the material world, we use it for our own benefits, for result. In Vaikuntha, it's used as the medium before rules and regulations, because it's nicely structured. In Vrindavan, it just serves as a form through which they can express their rasa. But they're not attached to the particular rules, seeing that they break them. Right? But the point is that they're still there in the first place. Is that okay? So we'll end here, and then we'll continue if anybody has questions after 5 minutes. So I have a Gwenta Rajshima and Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadeha Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Daigo Guru Deva.
Fully surrendered,
just body, mind, and words are always engaged in the service. You know, you're always physically engaged in some way, you know, that's beneficial. Your mind is thinking of the inward, contemplating things connected to the inward, your words that you're discussing about.
Say you wouldn't follow a rule. I mean, you would follow a particular rule in emergency. something would be improper to call them, you know, and then vice versa. You know, so in a normal situation, it would be improper to call them an exception. You know, it's like you went into the kitchen and had absolutely nothing else, no knives and that, so therefore you took a hammer and smashed it with the collar. Okay, got it done, I got it small enough, and so then you're appropriate. But if you had a knife, it would be inappropriate to use it. But to say, well, okay, we don't do anything throat at home. Thank you. How are you?
I'll see you around in a little while.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Shall I speak to it?
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Oops.
And then they have some.
Six one.
You got enough?
What country is 6-1? It's Australia. Haribo? Hello?
Yeah, Australia. That's smaller than the other one.
This is just the local Reliance, because it was having problem getting the... they only got the SIM card yesterday. This is a whole trip to change all the rules on Westerners having SIM cards. So I only actually got it yesterday and put it in the phone. Haribo? Hi, yes? Oh, Hare Krishna. Jai Ho, Jai Ho, Jai Ho. How may we help you, sir? Not exactly. I'm kind of right in the end of the Bhagavatam class, where then we're generally do question and answer for a little bit. Let's say maybe after 1 hour. Would that be okay? Would that be convenient? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, you can make it 45 minutes if that's more convenient. Yeah. Okay.
Giridhar is fun. Because it's festival now. So.
Huh?
It's festival now.
Who's?
Giridhar is fun.
Oh, he preaches in church.
Yeah, I don't know why that's 6 months.
Okay.
We'll just do questions.
Yeah.
About you have to think of Krishna and Krishna alone to go back to spiritual world. I was wondering, what about like if you die in Mayapur or Vrindavan, for instance, and you have to not be thinking of Krishna or
Vrindavan? Generally, Krishna will come to you in Mayapur. But still, you have to How can he be complete? If Krishna wants to taste rasa from the beginning, how can he be complete? Okay. Let us put it into another kind of like scenario. When the mother has a very, you know, full and satisfying interaction with the child, she feels then incomplete or complete? Or the boy and girl have a very close relationship with each other. They feel complete or incomplete? Complete. So why would you then, following a logical sequence, say if God needs living entities to interact with, that would be a symptom that he's incomplete? Because interacting with them, that's where completeness is tasted. You know what I'm saying? Okay. The boy is more happy being alone with nobody or being with a girl he likes? Okay. So, when he's alone, that's when incompleteness is felt. And when you're with somebody, that's when completeness is felt. Okay, you're taking it from this angle. Okay, let us put it this way. Krishna, all energies are him. Right? So everything is him. So he's already complete in himself because everything is there, it's all him. Now, to enhance that completeness, then he interacts with him, basically with himself, by interacting with his energies. Okay? Because it's something, it means, it's like, do you like to be, you're happy, do you mind becoming more happy? See, God's a person. Right? That's the thing. Whatever our qualities, we get from Him. But he's not incomplete in any way. He is complete, but the point is that completeness or that perfection, there are further forms that are perfect, more perfect, most perfect. It's further forms of perfection. Because perfection itself is a quality, and so if God is unlimited and eternal, that means that the perfection of it means the perfectness itself will always be ever increasing, always getting better and better. Does that make sense? Yeah, he's not dependent on it. He through Yoga Maya appears he is, but he's not.
Yeah, that I understand. The reason he wants it
is because it expands already existing perfect happiness.
And if he doesn't get it?
But he does.
Yeah.
The point is he's God, so what he thinks is what happens. See, what we think doesn't happen, therefore there's a worry that, okay, I need something, if I can get it, great, if I can't get it, then there's a problem. But he's complete in that he is everything.
Yeah.
That's right? God's everything, so therefore that's his completeness. He's Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. But when he expands his energies, then he can interact with them. Right? So that makes it greater.
Yeah. So he doesn't need to have a relationship?
No. He doesn't need to have one. But to experience, to increase the pleasure, then therefore he expands them. See, the point is just like this. Let us take a step back. You have a pot. And it's been used in the kitchen a lot. Bottom is black. And then you have a kettle. It's also been used in the kitchen and bottom is black. So now if the, and so that's a fault. They're both black. So now if the pot can point out and notice that the kettle is black, does it make the pot any less black? Does it in some way adjust the imperfection of the pot? No. So, therefore, we have to know that our ability to find fault in something else doesn't do away with our imperfection. Or make our imperfection okay. What's the point? If you can find a fault in God's dependency, does it make yours okay? Right? I mean, the mind's very clever, so you always have to keep your eye on it. Otherwise it comes up with very, very nice tricks. Okay? See, for him, it's pastime. He doesn't need it. That's why he's independent. Otherwise, he'll take this. Okay. Okay, he needs it. Okay. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that talks about the Lakshmis, or residents of the spiritual world, the women there, and their beauty is way beyond anything you can imagine. Then you have the girls of the heavenly planets here in the material world, the Apsaras and Nomas. And those are also quite attractive. And then it goes on to mention that the girls of this world here, they are said to be attractive by those from here. Right? But compared to the others, it's just, it doesn't count. Right? So now, girls from here, then we're attached to. Right? And we can get attached to just one. Right? Now, you take not those girls, not the heavenly girls, but girls from the spiritual world. You got, just for discussion's sake, we say 16,108. There's a lot more than that, but it goes into millions, but 16,108 are prominent. And they're all there. They've given up everything for Krishna. They're only interested in Krishna. So here you don't have a contrary girl who, if you happen to say all the right things, do all the right things, then she might interact with you. Here you have fully surrendered girls that are way beyond anything in this world. Right? And when their mood is not right, he just walks out. So, therefore, you have to really work hard to say he's dependent. You know what I'm saying? It'd be really hard to push that one through.
It's like, you know, if you didn't expand yourself to the other living entities, you know, then he would just be doing nothing. And
it's like this. You're taking being dissatisfied, being Atmarama, as a fault. Because we get bored, because we're not complete. Right? We're sitting in some place doing nothing, but everything around us is not us. But he's doing nothing, it's all him. He can't be incomplete, because the point is whatever there is him anyway. So there's no such thing as incompleteness. It's just, so he is simultaneously Atmarama at the same time, then he expands into the entity. So both things are going on at once. Is that okay? What becomes more prominent? What's favorable or what's unfavorable? The simple answer would be what's favorable. But the point is what's favorable becomes prominent because what's unfavorable is not there. Does that make sense? Because actually what becomes prominent in devotional service is Krishna's my protector, Krishna's my maintainer. Right? Does that make sense? Because first you identify yourself as a devotee. Then you take up the position of being meek and humble. Then you give up what's unfavorable, accept what's favorable. Then you'll see Krishna as your maintainer, Krishna as your protector. Does that make sense? So that's only in the middle. Does that make sense? Because the point is you accept what's favorable, you have to reject what's unfavorable in the process. Because you can't do what's favorable if you're doing what's unfavorable, because it takes up the same space. Right? You can't be... Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. It would be... How would you be involved in the kirtan at the same time at home watching television? You know what I'm saying? You're doing one or the other, you can't do them both. Does that make sense? Or if you are doing both, then that time that you are doing the unfavorable, you're not engaged with something favorable. Does that make sense? So the point is when what's unfavorable is given up, then what remains is the favorable. Right? Does that make sense? So, to what degree the activities that are unfavorable are there, you slowly replace them with what's favorable. Does that make sense? So then, to do that, then we connect them to Krishna. Yeah? Okay?
Just as a follow-up, is there factually anything unfavorable for a devotee?
Is there factually anything unfavorable? Rukmini Jnanam. Haribol? Haribol? Huh, yes. Huh, yeah. The boys school should have tons of them. So if you can call Vagisha? Yeah. You can, but probably not right this second. Yeah, should have. Okay. How do you feel? I'd mentioned cow dung patties in class, so they wanted to know where they could get them. Okay. Is anything unfavorable? Rukmini Dhyanam, meditation on Dwarka, using mudras during the offering of the puja, not in the purification. Using the kusa rings. There's a fifth one also. Can't remember. But those Rupa Goswami mentions, those aren't very useful. Yeah. In other words, all the Vaikuntha is kind of like forms. Making sense? Means so many ways you could answer a question, which one you choose.
Yes, for you. Why?
Now, what's the mood of those that they do that with?
Yeah.
That's the point.
So then the question you have to ask is that, you know, somehow I'm against
it. It's a matter of... Are you just, means it's a matter of, are you sharing your understandings? Or is it a matter of, are you trying to get it across to the person so that they understand it from their perspective? You know what I'm saying? In other words, there's a difference between whether you're sharing or teaching. It's not necessarily you can't use them both or go back and forth, but the point is for yourself, this is how you would work, but it doesn't mean necessarily everybody else would work that way. So you have to see the point is, what result do you want to get? Is it a matter of they understand your perspective, or they understand something that will work for them? Does that make sense? Okay, we'll give you an example of this calculating or that. Let us say you want something, and there's a person that you can get it from. But you don't really know the person, you just know that's the person you have to go to. Right? So now, you start talking. Right? And so, is it... Now, every word you say, you're going to be noticing what the response is, right? And then, depending upon that response, your next word will be chosen. But it's not that you're just intellectualizing on it, you're working on what is the experience that's happening at the moment, right? Does that answer your question? In other words, if you want to get something done, so it depends upon what you want to get done, then you're going to choose, right, what you say. So that's the main point, is in you explaining to someone else is what is your purpose, like that. So then that will then determine what method you use. Is that okay? Yeah. So the whole point, if it's just a matter, this is what I'm going through, and so that must be what everybody else is going through. Like I remember I was talking to one Grihastha man was telling me very confidently and very, you know, he's a not in a proud way, but proud in the way that I got it worked out. And so he was pointing out only after going through dealing with the second woman, then he now understood how to deal with women, and so therefore, unless someone like goes through these stages, they'll never actually understand, right? This 50-year-old man talking. And then I was thinking myself, this is kind of amazing that the Shastra is already saying what's going on and how to work, and Prabhupada gives so much definition. So one could learn so much by hearing, so much by seeing, and of course then by experiencing, but why is it only going through his experience then you can know? Because he was basically saying non-categorically that no one, unless they've gone through this, can understand. In other words, unless you went through the experience he went through, you would never understand what women are. You know, so because it was said with such confidence and such an air, it's just one of those things you just let go by. You know, because, you know, you wouldn't want to embarrass him by saying, well, have you run that past your wife yet? You know, like that. Does she agree with you? Like that. So then, you know, it's just, you know, does that make sense? So then one has to be very careful that in what you've understood in your realizations, that in sharing it, it's not that everybody else has to go through the same path you went through. Right? It's a matter of what benefits you had. You try to get that across. What is the essence? Because maybe it took you 10 years to figure it out. After you figured it out, you went, wow, that was pretty simple. I could have figured it out, you know, much quicker. So then the idea is then when you explain it to others, it's explained from how you use it much quicker rather than how to drag it out over 10 years. You may have close friends who you sit there and say, man, it took me 10 years to figure this out, and that was really, you know, stupid, but by Krishna's mercy, you just worked it out, and now I'm like this and that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's there, but that's friendship, that's the sharing. But to say that, no, unless we go through this and all these stages, that's pride. You know, so that was, does that make sense? Yeah. So if the pride is there, then our explanation will generally be more technical. In the way that it's technical, in the way that, or complicated. And that you have to go through all these stages, and it's gotta be like this, and, you know, there's no other way, because we'll see the world from our point of view. Does that make sense? But for, but for these others, then, but if you actually want to teach, then it's a matter of how to say what you've understood in the simplest way possible that others can actually use it. Right? Does that make sense? It's individual. It's completely individual. That's why it's sometimes hard to speak to a group, because you have to find something common in the whole group. Right? Like that. And then once you've found that, then the atmosphere goes very nice. But otherwise, then until that's happened, then it'll be good. That's why you see that somebody can preach in a certain area more effectively. Because they can address that mentality. Because there'll be a generic, like say you go to America, there's kind of a generic American mentality, or generic English, or generic French, or German, like this. But within it, there's individuals. But to be able to catch the common point, and then be able to use it specifically, if somebody catches that, so they're better in that area. You know what I'm saying? So it's just natural. Or in a particular subject, somebody knows a particular subject very well, so they're able to relate it to Krishna consciousness more easily. So then that field becomes very natural for them. So that's why it's said that one engages in activities according to one's nature. Like that, because you would be getting the best result. Since the result is for Krishna, that's what you'd want. Does that make sense?
It says that the universal form is like the political order between Lord Vishnu and Brahma. Sometimes the Deva is supposed to be the connection between the previous life and this life.
The Devas.
No, the Deva.
The Deva.
I don't understand how the Deva is a connection and how it relates to the universal form.
How is the Deva a connection to the next life? Because it's through the navel that you are connected. You come in, you are given life by your connection through the navel. Right? So it means the whole process of life is transferred through that. Right? So the point is one creation of the next, and through that universal form, that is the template off of which Brahma creates. And that's coming from last universe, and even within this universe, from day to day, and like that. Right? Because there's a recreation every day of Brahma. Right? So then that connection would be through the universal form, because it's universal form's potency. Brahma makes the externals, but the form is already there. Dogness already exists, then you can make a dog that will act like one. Right? That form of the dog is not the dog. There's a mentality that makes it a dog. And that particular form best matches that mentality. Right? You know, you wouldn't give a dog, like, dogs without tails are missing something, right? And these old dogs have tails, they cut them off, you know, for the show or stuff. But, you know, dogs have tails, And, you know, could you imagine a dog with a little dinky nose? You know, or a nose that was hard to go around and smell everything with? No. Like that. So, you know, that's appropriate because that's what dogs do, right? You know, I mean, there's one out of, I think, 300 species that doesn't have any hair. So it'd be really hard for them to have fleas, right? So you have to have hair to have fleas, right? You know what I'm saying?
The connection between the water solution with the soil and the baby is connected to the mother with the soil. What's the connection?
The energies, the whole moods, the whole something is the whole framework of the child is based on the mother's, right? Isn't it? Her qualities and her form, you know, the baby's going, oh, it looks like your mother. Oh, you so look like, oh, you have your mother's eyes. Like, you know, so that's, it's all coming through there.
The person having intelligence, does it mean that intelligence is given also by the mother?
Means the foundation of everything comes from the mother. The father defines it, but it's come from the mother. Okay, so we'll have to end here tonight. It's a little short, it's not a festival time, things are happening. So, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sambhita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Jaya Gaura.